Revelation chapter 12. I draw your attention to the verse 12 again tonight. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Here we read of the one who is armed with cruel hate. The arena of all the devil's present activity is described for us in our text. All the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, in land or sea, wherever man dwells, that is the sphere of his work and action. All his present activity is concentrated there. I say all his present activity because he no longer operates in the heavenly realm. He has been cast out of heaven. The war in that front is over. He comes down to earth, and all his focus now is on that front. All his malignant movement now is focused on the earth, the inhabitants of the earth. And heaven considers that an awful and a terrible thing, a great woe for the planet. Men don't believe the devil is real, or if they do, they are not aware of his cruelty and power and malice. They do not grasp his soul-destroying capabilities. They do not realize how dangerous and terrible a thing it is to have Satan coming down among them. Mankind is ignorant of and totally unaware of Satan's destructive resourcefulness. But heaven isn't ignorant. Heaven knows. And heaven says, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The devil has come down to you. And so the text tells us the heavenly voice knows how fearful a thing it is to have Satan coming down. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And I remind you, that is the title of this book that we have been studying. The revelation of Jesus Christ, it takes away the veil. It lets us see the reality. It lets us see earth's history in heaven's light. We see heaven's worldview. The so-called news that we listen to every day on the media only reports visible events. It cannot report beyond that. It can only look at visible cause and effect. It can only see flesh and blood. It cannot see that the devil has come down upon the earth. It cannot see that cause, and it doesn't believe that cause, and it doesn't trace the effects to that cause. It cannot see the principalities and the powers. It cannot see the rulers of the darkness of this world. It cannot see the spiritual wickedness in high places. It cannot discern any of this. It cannot see the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in all the children of disobedience. It cannot comprehend that cause. And its report then, the news report, is not a true worldview. Cannot be, because it is ignorant of Satan's presence and of his perversive and universal influence over all men. Cannot see that. And not only is it ignorant of Satan's influence, more than that, it is positively under that satanic influence. So that its worldview is not only incomplete, but its worldview is utterly false, utterly corrupted through satanic influence. Heaven's voice alone gives us a true worldview. And the Church of Christ believes heaven's voice. And tonight, again, we proclaim heaven's voice in the words of our text. In our English translation of Martin Luther's hymn on Psalm 46, Luther wrote, "For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." And in our text, this ill-boding and ominous note that closes the chant of this loud voice is not only brought out, the foreboding is not only brought out by that word woe, but the sense of foreboding is also heightened by that terrible expression, "The devil is come down unto you." An awful foreboding in that expression. Now, it is true that Satan is cast down, but it also is true that he comes down with energy and power, comes down with purpose, comes down with fiery fervency to carry out his plans, his dark designs. This is a real true warfare, congregation. That the enemy is invisible does not make him unreal or a myth or a fable. Why is the world the way it is? Why is there wickedness in high political places and office and power? Why is the earth filled with cruelty and injustice? Why are there wars? Why genocides and the Holocaust? Why the murder of races, of peoples, and of the unborn? Why immoral and unnatural actions on mass scale? Why do dictators arise? Who gives Antichrist his seat? Why the hatred and opposition to the truth and to the gospel? Why the persecution of the church? Why the apostasy and the darkness and the error? Why the destruction of families and nations and lands? And why the blindness of minds on almost a universal scale? The answer is in our text. The devil is come down unto you, earth dwellers. So the foreboding in the word woe, the foreboding in the name devil, the foreboding in the verb come down, that foreboding is even more intensified when you see the inner life of this one who comes down, which is described for us in our text, because heaven reveals to us Satan's inner life, his thoughts, what drives him. It gives us a glimpse of his thinking. The voice tells us how the devil feels. He comes down onto you having great wrath because he knows that he hath but a short time. And there are two things then tonight that we consider. What heaven's voice tells us about the devil and this inner life of his. And then secondly, why heaven would tell us that. First of all, what heaven's voice tells us about the devil. Three things are stated. First, that the devil has great wrath, having great wrath. Second, that the devil has knowledge, especially knowledge of the brevity of his time. He hath but a short time. And then thirdly, that these two things stand related. He has great wrath because he has this knowledge. Let us begin with his knowledge. He knoweth. Satan knoweth. The devil is not ignorant. That's one thing that we can be sure about. He knows things. He knows a lot of things. He knows more than any of us. He knows more than any man living on the earth. The devil has been around a long, long time. Before the dawn of human history, he has seen things, many things. He has heard things. He has been made aware of things beyond any sinful man being made aware of those things. He knows the Bible more than us. He knows the human heart more than us. He knows how men behave more than us. He knows all the political motions and movements in society. He knows what goes on. He's not an ignorant being. But the one piece of information that heaven wants us to know he has is this. He knows that his time is short. And I mean, he is fully persuaded of that. This drives him. This motivates him. This knowledge that he has suggests thought and care on his part. It is not to him a useless piece of information. It is for him very motivating knowledge, very important, very practical. It is the knowledge that his time is short. He hath but a brief space. What is true for the devil is true for men also. It is true even for every Christian. The Bible tells us all the time is short. It's short for men. It's short for you. It's short for me. Remember that the psalmist said, remember how short my time is. And Paul himself, writing to the Corinthians, he says, this I say, brethren, the time is short. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time. It's short. And then it's away. So man's time is short. Men know about the brevity of life. And yet, they don't act on that knowledge. It doesn't motivate them. It doesn't drive them. They know this inside themselves, but they don't make a good use of that knowledge of the brevity of time. The information is not often, as it were, taken on board practically. If the time is short for men, then they should use that knowledge that they have that their time is short wisely and repent and live for eternity and not for time. Just as the Bible exhorts us, the end of all things is at hand, brethren. Therefore be sober, be circumspect. The world passeth away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. So time is short. Be sober, do the will of God, repent, believe the gospel, and use that knowledge practically. The devil uses the knowledge practically, but not to repent, for he cannot repent and will not repent. By time here, the devil does not think in terms of months and years, and decades and millennium, but he thinks in terms of opportunity, duration to get his plan done, to get his schemes accomplished. We might interpret it season. He knows that his season is short. He knows that his opportunity to get this plan in place is brief. That's what it means here. And so concerning this knowledge of brief opportunity, we have to ask several questions. The first is, opportunity for what? What is it he wants to achieve and for which he grasps his season to the best of his ability? What is it he aims at and for which the time and opportunity is quickly passing? Well, it is his season to ruin mankind and to destroy as many souls as possible. To ruin mankind in land and sea universally beyond any remedy for them. His time to damn souls. His time to hinder and hamper the salvation of sinners. His time, his season to dishonor God and lower him in the estimate of all rational creatures as much as Satan is able. His time to, as it were, silence God's word and God's church. His season to crush the truth and to promote the error and to deceive the nations. He knows his season is coming to an end, to fight God and to afflict his people. The season of darkness. The second question is, how does he know this? How does he know that his season is brief? Well, I think he knows it by revelation. God told him. The first revelation after the fall was a gospel revelation. But it was specifically delivered to Satan. It was specifically delivered to the old serpent. It was to the old serpent that God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel, but it shall bruise thy head. And deep down, Satan knows that God speaks the truth. He knows that. Over the thousands of years of his experience, he has become convinced of that. Especially this matter of the seed of the woman and the advent of Christ, which he has so much tried to oppose, and at the birth of which he was there to try to snap away that very child. But he failed. And he knows he failed. And that child is ascended up on high now and glorified, and God's word is fulfilled, and he has been cast out of heaven. He's received a bruise on his head, and he knows it. He knows it. The cross and its power, he has felt. the efficacy of that resurrection he has witnessed. He has experienced the power of death being taken from him. He has felt that drain of his strength by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's in death throes and he knows it. He knows it. He has heard the death knell sound and he knows it. He has felt the blood of the Lamb through him who has abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, Jesus Christ. That hasn't happened, and Satan ignorant of it. He has seen the Gentiles being brought in. He has seen the Spirit working in the earth. He is witnessing conversions. Sometimes he has seen revivals take place. He knows his time is short. The third question is, why does he not see his folly knowing this? Knowing you're losing the battle and yet continues with ever increased fervency and zeal. Knowing this and yet, like a cornered beast, instead of surrendering, fights even more ferociously. Well, why does he do that? Well, the answer is that sin makes rational souls mad and insane. Sin has made sinners insane, so that they die in darkness. They die without seeking God. They reject Jesus Christ. They go on in the lie and in the error. They act as insane, living on in sin and dying in sin. And what fallen men do, fallen devils do too. There must be something like that going on in Satan. He probably has deceived himself as he deceives others. He knows he is ruined, but he puts up a depraved, fearful, and ferocious fight to ruin as many with him as he can. He ordered the destruction of men along with himself and as many as possible to bring down with him. As many as possible as the angels he brought down with him, and as many as possible as men and women he endeavors to bring down with him. He thought he had the whole human race down. But this man-child ruined that. I think of Adolf Hitler. When he saw that the war was over and Germany defeated, and every soldier that was ever fighting on every front knew it. But Hitler wouldn't give in. To the last man, to the last bullet, the very destruction of Germany itself, in his final futile efforts. He knew victory was long gone. But he would never give up. In fact, he ordered the destruction of Germany. The decree was called Destructive Measures on Reich Territory. It was to destroy everything. It was to make it a wilderness so that the Allies would have nothing. And the new Germany would have nothing. No factories. No places to work. No people to work in them. It was nicknamed the Nero Decree. He said, if the war is lost, the people will be lost also. It is not necessary to worry about what the German people will need for elemental survival. It's not necessary. The war is lost, and the people can go to the dogs. That's how Hitler died. And that's how the devil dies. The war is lost, but all the human race, as much as possible, will sink with me. A scorched Germany was decreed, and a scorched earth and sea is decreed by Satan. Satan issues some decree like that. If the war is lost, let all die. Destroy all God could use. Give him not one soul for his glory. And this madness in death intensifies as the time gets shorter. And the end will be with great tribulation. This knowledge, then, we can see leads not to repentance and correction, but to a madness of wrath and rage. The text says, his wrath is great. Underline that word great. It's mega. Nothing like it. Great wrath. The empire is falling. He knows it. So he rages. And with every dark citadel that comes down, his wrath only multiplies the more. Mad rage fills the devil. And this rage, arising from an ever-closing window of opportunity, comes out of hatred. Intense hatred. And hence intense anger. He is angry with God, for he hates God. And God's success. And he's angry with the Christ child, for he hates the Christ child and his success. And he's filled with rage against Michael and his angels because they have not followed him. They have maintained their righteousness and stood fast in their integrity and warred a warfare against Satan and his angels. And he's raging with them, for he hates them. And he hates Israel, that had the oracles of God and brought forth the Christ child. And he hates the church, and he hates the seed of the church. He hates the believers. He's filled with rage against them, as we shall see in the latter verses. Rage that souls are saved. Rage that his captives are set free by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with great wrath. But then secondly, we have to ask, why does heaven tell us this? The Lord does not give us too many views into the inner life of Satan. It's a subject kept from us in the main. His dark heart, God dare not expose to us. And very little is said in Scripture on the way Satan thinks. And from his works and devices, of course, we surmise the malice and the rage of his heart. But here, heaven clearly states it. He comes down with this inner life of anger and hatred and rage and malice. Which is why we must never give place to anger, because then we give place to this one. He is clearly a very unhappy being. He has no inner peace, no rest, like the troubled sea, and he makes sinners like himself. And he knows how to do it, to fill them with anger and hatred. But why would God tell us this? Why does heaven declare it and say, woe to you, because this is the kind of person who's coming down among you? Well, I think there are several reasons. And the first is to inform us that Satan's doom is sure. I mean, if Satan knows it, if he knows that his time is short, then it must be short, and he must be doomed. This being who is acting in the earth and causing all this havoc that we see about it, this is the actions of a being who is in death throes, who's doomed, who's dying, who's hopelessly cornered, who's throwing out in his madness of defeat the same spirit that he gave Adolf Hitler. If he has been driven to see that his season is almost over, that his doom is certain, and his behavior, as I said, tells us it is so, then Christ has won the day, and the victory has been accomplished at the cross. And heaven tells us this to assure us, these are the actions of a doomed devil. Satan is ruined beyond remedy. His head is crushed. His death throes may last 2,000 years, but it's a brief time compared to eternity. And the new heavens and the new earth duration, he is in desperate flight. As Luther said, the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. And the more he rages against you, Christian, the more you should be encouraged that he will be soon gone. And so heaven tells us, he's in his death throes. He's doomed. Another reason why heaven tells us this is to encourage the church to battle on and labor on, these seven congregations and all the congregations in every generation, to labor on and fight on and battle on, to continue to be believing, to be courageous in the conflict, to be faithful, to stand fast, to see that there is no reason to compromise. There is no reason to surrender. There is no reason to give up your ground. Because your adversary, the devil, hath but a brief time. He's defeated. So hold on. Hold on throughout that brief season. Hold on through the short time of the devil's opportunity. Don't give up. Maintain the fight. There is no cause to despair of God's truth and of God's church. Because heaven says, even he knows his time is short. And then thirdly, it is given to explain to us the terrifying death throes of his expiring kingdom. To explain why there is so much evil as the age comes to a close, and why things will get worse and worse, and why these woes come upon the earth, and how at the last he shall, as it were, deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. Bring Gog and Magog to gather them together to battle. And the Armageddon, to explain all of this. The state of the world. What's happening? Why is evil abounding? Why is there all this darkness? The devil has come down onto you. Explanation. You want the explanation. The news won't report this explanation. The news will never begin at stories. The devil did this and the devil did that. And someone gave their heart, as it were, and opened up their life to the devil and carried out this. You'll never hear that. You'll never hear what the way the Bible reports the news. Satan entered his heart. You'll never hear that in the news. Why does the light become so dim at times? Why does truth seem to be almost extinguished in places? Why does error seem to fill the earth? Why does the love of many wax cold? Why is it when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This is a reason. It has told us also, congregation, that we may be watchful ourselves and on our guard. For if he has come down unto the inhabitants of the earth, Christians are also the inhabitants of the earth. And so he tells us this. The world won't believe this, but the church must believe this. This voice has told us that Christians might take the armor of God, that they might stand and in the face of this adversary filled with rage, have their loins girt about with truth, and have on the breastplate of righteousness, and their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and watchfulness, and prayerfulness. It is told us that we might not be ignorant of his devices. It is told us that we may not be surprised at his methods. A furious man is bad enough, the Bible tells us. What does it say in the Bible about an angry man, a man filled with rage? Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, don't dare go. But here's a devil, a mad devil, an angry devil, a furious devil. And you can't go with him. You can't compromise with him. You can't give in to him. You can't, as it were, pussyfoot with his instruments and his agents and his works of darkness. They have to be exposed and opposed. A furious Satan requires that his people be separate from the devil and all the works of the devil. A furious Satan means that we must be not only separated, but we must be armored, and we must be diligent, and we must be watchful. What a furious Satan can work. He has depths of which we have not yet seen anything, and of which this world has not yet seen much. Depths of Satan, yet to be seen and felt. And the child of God and the church of Jesus Christ must be vigilant, cannot abandon the truth, cannot compromise, cannot pussyfoot with all the iniquity and the evildoers in the land. We have to maintain righteousness and truth utterly, uncompromisingly. It has told us also that we may tell the world, that Christians may point out to the unconverted the one who blinds them. The world has to hear of the malice of Satan and of his work and how he is active in the earth. And the worldling must hear how the devil works in his or her life. We are to tell them of the domain of Satan and of the darkness that they are under and the blindness that blinds their minds from reconciliation with their God. The words "to you" then need to be underlined in evangelism. the devil has come down onto you. You're an inhabitor of the earth. You're an unconverted earthling dwelling on land and sea. And the devil, the Bible says, he's come down onto you. Do you see that, sinner? To you. The unconverted need to be shown they are in the text. That they are mentioned in the heavens in this loud voice. And you can bring the Christless to this word and show them lovingly, kindly, graciously, the truth. There it is. This is what the Bible says. That the spirit of wickedness works in the ungodly and the unconverted. And that the God of this world, the devil who has come down onto them, has blinded their minds and he's put a veil over your mind. And sinner, only Christ can remove that veil. And you need the light of the world. You need this Christ child who has gone up and got the victory at the right hand of God. We need to, heaven tells us this, to point this out to the inhabitants, to tell the sinners in evangelism. There's a spirit that worketh upon them and in them. And we are to echo heaven's voice in evangelism. That's why heaven tells the church this. The book of the Revelation is an evangelistic book to warn the inhabitants of the earth. And we are to have compassion. And we're to make a difference. And we're to save with fear and pluck the worldling and the earth dweller as much as we are able out of the fire. To you, he's come, sinner. And you're in his kingdom and you're under his domain and you need to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we are to point out to men the ascended one, to Christ, to get them to escape the angry one and to flee to the gracious and merciful and kind one, Jesus Christ. We must call upon men to renounce Satan, to renounce his kingdom, to renounce his domain of darkness, to renounce his works, and to enlist in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and to repent and believe the gospel. And so heaven tells us this, that we may tell the inhabitants of sea and land. And may the Lord enable us to do so by the power of his Holy Spirit. For Christ's sake, amen.